Dan Canobio, Chris Algieri, moments after Devin Haney picks up a unanimous decision win over Vasily Lomachenko. I'm in New York City. Chris is in Las Vegas. He was there ringside. Chris, floor is yours. What'd you think about that decision? What'd you think about that fight?
Incredible fight. Highly contested, competitive back and forth. One of those for the ages type fight where it's like guys are going tit for tat the whole way through. It was just no round was really clear. You know, it was just every like landed shot by Haney, Loma would come right back on edge the whole time. I was like nervous in the first couple of rounds, like how contested it was and how high energy it was in the arena. But yeah, I mean, awesome fight. Really, really impressed with Lomachenko to pull out a performance that way at 35 years old and also being so much smaller. And I tip my hat to Haney, who utilized a strategy that was very unexpected for me. And I they were definitely working on things, and it showed. The body punching, never known Devin Haney to be a body puncher, and he was consistently landing to the body throughout, countering to the body. It was an interesting tactic. I thought, you know, that it wasn't the best idea. He was standing right in front of Lomachenko quite a bit, was acting like a puncher, and he's certainly not that. And it left opportunities for Haney to, you know, to crack for Lomachenko to crack Haney throughout. I think when they go back and watch, they could have made that fight a lot easier. And in terms of the decision, I scored it a draw, but I was literally calling the fight while I score it, which means pretty much nothing because scoring a really fight and calling it at the same time is impossible. So I need to go back. I'm going to watch it round by round, score it properly, and go from there. But everyone who's freaking out about this being some type of robbery, the fight was too close. You can't, how mad are you going to get? You're getting emotional.
Yeah.
Feelings are not how fights are scored. So you might have felt like Loma won. I felt like Loma won, but I looked at my scorecard, it was a draw. And I have a feeling when I go back and score it, I'm going to score it and I'm going to see Haney winning.
Really?
So I think so. You got to look at those body shots. They were consistent. They were hard. You know, and a lot of the punches that Lomachenko was landing, they were pot shots. Like, you know, Haney's head got popped way up in the air, but they weren't really hard damaging shots. I got the feeling from being in the arena, Loma's just a much, much smaller guy. Wasn't throwing with bad intentions. The way that, you know, his punches weren't landing with as if they were like thunderous in any way. Not that he's ever known to be that kind of guy, but I don't know. You know, it's just, it was a close fight. If you had Loma winning, I get it. If you had a draw, I get it. If you have Haney winning closely, I get it. The scorecards weren't crazy. You know, one judge had Haney winning by one round, two judges had him winning by two, or the other way around, something like that. So people hear unanimous and they're like, oh, so unanimous, could never be a unanimous. I'm like, well, it could be a unanimous decision and the scores could be all over the place, or it could be a unanimous decision and the scores are really, really close. It doesn't mean it's not a close fight.
Yeah, let's stop saying the word robbery. Not everything's a robbery.
Yeah.
Robbery is like Bradley Pacquiao. Robbery is like, I don't know, some bigger ones than this. Mikel Fox.
Robbery's obvious.
Yes.
Robbery's obvious. This is not obvious.
This was a close fight. This was a modern classic. The body punching probably won Haney the fight. I was equally as surprised as you were. I think half of his connects were body shots. I do agree with you that Haney looked huge. Loma looked small. A lot of Loma's punches they look like arm punches. They didn't look like they were scoring, but they were so damn precise. And they were coming from angles like Pacquiao had thrown where you didn't see him coming, and they were catching Haney off guard left and right. Every round was close besides the last three, which was a big reason why fans at home thought that Lomachenko won the fight, because it's the last thing they saw. Final three rounds, 10th round, Lomachenko outlands him 11-5. I mean, if you take a look at the round, I thought that was a clear round for Lomachenko. Dave already scores it for Haney. I don't know how. Dave Moretti needs to just say good night and goodbye. The final three rounds, 44-18, connects for Lomachenko. I thought he came on late. Those first eight or nine rounds, razor thin, like you said, Chris. Like moments where, all right, this is a clear Lomachenko round, or this is a clear Haney round, and the other guy parries back, because it was two high-level fighters. This was, equally matched up guys. Even though one's 35 and one's 24, one guy who's so much bigger than the other in Haney. A modern classic, just a great back and forth fight on the edge of your seat. I can just feel it in the arena. I couldn't imagine what it was like being in the arena. You know, I tweeted out that Ryan Tank was for the world and Haney Loma was for the purists, because that was like awesome. That was such an awesome fight. And I wish there was like 12 more rounds. It's kind of sucks for Haney. Once again, he gets the win, but I don't think he's going to get the full credit there. I'm just reading through the comments, not everything, but a majority of people think that Lomachenko won that fight. Even Bradley said it in the post fight. You were probably making your way through the crowd, but Bradley's gone. I'm getting flashbacks to my win, quote unquote, over Pacquiao, where I got booed on my way out and I just did my job. And, you know, I can't tell you what the judges saw there. So once again, Haney gets the win, but I don't know if he's going to get the credit. Awesome fight.
I mean, yeah, and the kid's definitely chasing the credit. He made mention of that, but listen, he's getting the paycheck. He's got all the belts. He can cry away the bank. He said it. He's like, I just beat a Hall of Famer. And he did. At the end of the day, he's in the books as being victorious over Lomachenko, who's one of the best fighters of our generation. And you can never take that away. It is what it is. It's not a robbery in the sense that we're going to be able to go back and overturn a decision. No, it was a close fight, and you can have your opinions. People are very emotional about this fight. They're emotional about both sides. There's people that like Lomachenko. Yeah. And I get it. Very, very nice guy. You know, he comes off as being humble and whatnot. He's got the whole Ukrainian thing. And he became the heel during the build up to this fight.
Well, the shove didn't help.
He became very unlikable leading up to this fight, which I get. And but I think that was kind of his own doing, and they wanted that. But it is what it is. So I think a lot of it has to come with emotions. But listen, emotions have no belongings in the state of boxing, and especially when it comes to scoring.
You're supposed to score round by round. You're supposed to just erase what you just saw and move on to the next one like a robot.
Yeah,
a lot of these
people can't do that.
No, it's really hard. I mean, it's an emotional thing. I was like on the edge of my seat here, you know, working comfy boxing, just like
halfway through, I wanted to just stop scoring.
Right, I tweeted that. I tweeted that in like the third round. I just ripped up my scorecard. I'm just gonna watch this fight. That was the type of fight it was. Razor thin. Every single round was like, oh my God. But do you think that Lomachenko did enough late? Do you think that when you go back and watch it, maybe you'll see those final three rounds? I mean, there weren't any like demonstrative rounds, but the rounds that there were demonstrative, they went to Loma, I thought, especially 10, 11, 12. Maybe not 12, but 10 and 11. I don't know. Such a close one.
So it reminds me of, this is one that I always use for the history lessons for people talking about scoring. Thomas Hearns versus Sugar Ray Leonard, the first fight. And Hearn squeaks out every round that he won. Leonard beats the crap out of Hearns every round that he wins. Literally has him all over, spaghetti-legged all over the ring. Huh. Late into the fight, Hearns way ahead. And people are like, what are you talking about? How could he be ahead? How did Leonard need a knockout to win that fight? Because Hearn won more of the rounds, and that's how boxing is scored. It's not, like you said, you have to throw away the scorecard after each round and start anew as if it's a whole new contest. And people just can't do that emotionally. They can't have that separation, which I get. I mean, you have a memory. But yeah, no, I need to go back and really sit down in a quiet room, shut up the noise, and just watch the fight and score it from there. But it's, you know, it's not going to be fair either, because I've already seen the fight. So it's such a difficult thing. It's so subjective.
Well, you said it, right? You called it. When I asked you how you thought this fight was going to go in last week's episode, you said, I think it's going to be a really close fight. It's going to be really hard to score, controversial, everything. It was. Lomachenko was shown in the locker room, if you saw this. He was, like, weeping. I think he realized, like, I don't have another one of these performances in me again. It's probably my last chance to get that last thing that I could not get. That is undisputed gold. I think he comes out of this looking great, Lomachenko. I think he come out, if he does want to continue on, he can fight Shakur Stevenson. Another thing that you said, I'm just going to keep giving you credit, Chris. Lomachenko Shakur fight could be down the line. We'll get to Shakur in a second. He was in the ring. I thought that was awesome. Haney moves on. Haney gets the win. When you look back on this, whatever, Haney, he wins. Haney gets the win. He moves on. The interesting thing now is with his deal with Top Rank is out. I've heard some rumblings that a very famous YouTube boxer could be snatching up Devin Haney. You could do the math there. You know what I'm talking about. So like, that's interesting to me. That's interesting. Like, he could leave Top Rank and with all the belts. And that's another thing, too, with the robbery. It's like, if you want to look at a robbery, or they would like Top Rank. I mean, this is how it works. I don't know how corruption works, but I would guess it would be like Top Rank wants to keep the belts with Lomachenko. He's been with Top Rank his whole career. He's not going anywhere anytime soon. So they would maybe somehow get Lomachenko to win. So that's the case with the future. Did you see Shakur in the ring after? I love this. Shakur had a little altercation with Haney. Haney goes, "I'm number one." Shakur says, "Yeah, for now." And says, "I'm lurking." There are a lot of fish in the water looking at Devin Haney. Did you see some things in Haney where you would say, "All right, Shakur could beat him, Gervonta could beat him, some of the top guys at 135. How would you rate like Haney's performance overall?
Shakur beats everybody.
Really?
And I have no question about that. He beats Haney. All the things that gave him trouble from the southpaw position, Shakur does, and he does really well, and he's big enough. Yeah, Shakur beats Haney.
Were you surprised with some of Haney's defense? Like, once again, the jab wasn't exactly there for him. He didn't even try
to jab. Or lack thereof.
Didn't even try to jab.
I couldn't believe how easy he was to hit.
He
fought very square. He was moving to his right, which is into the southpaw's left hand. He was treating himself as if he was a puncher, counterpuncher, a hard counterpuncher, and a body puncher. He dispensed with the jab early. Just didn't even try to use it. The tactics they used, and I thought early on, because he was landing really hard, clean body shots, I was like, wow, this strategy that these guys have employed, that he's executing, this is pretty good. And this is impressive. If he would have gotten to Loma late and beat him up, I would have been like, wow, these guys are something else. But the fact that it went the way that Loma fights go, and that it did not add up to working, to being like a clear decision, I think it was a bad decision. I think it was a bad strategy. He should have done what he always does. Box from the outside. You're going to let the shorter man walk in the front door and literally throw straight left hands and pop your head up in the air every
from the
chance
second
he
round
gets. On. Walked right in the front door. You have a 5.5-inch reach advantage. How are you letting this guy walk right in the front door? And it wasn't like Lomachenko was making like fast, explosive moves like a Pacquiao-esque kind of guy. He's literally walking in. Because Lomachenko, because Haney was letting him. I'm on the air watching the fight, and I'm like, look at this. I'm talking to Eric Rothman, my partner, on the mic, and I'm like, look at this. This is the wrong range. He's allowing Lomachenko to hang out in the range where he can hit him. And what are you doing? Like, why?
We talked about that range was going to be everything. The jab was going to be everything. If Haney couldn't get that jab going, Lomachenko was going to get inside. Lomachenko got inside like midway through the first round. I was like, okay, this is going to be really interesting. Haney just...
He didn't respect the power.
Of Haney, right?
No, didn't respect the power. Was there... Like, I remember I was in the room with Teofimo, too. The heat that was coming off of Teofimo's punches made Lomachenko very hesitant to engage and was very... He was 100% defensive-minded. Like, whoop, whoop, nope, 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 move, move, move. This was not that. He was walking Haney down at the end of the first round.
Yeah. I thought some of the power from Haney was impressive. I thought the body punching was impressive. Yes. He had some nice shots in there, some nice offensive things that I haven't seen from him in a while. But that's not his bread and butter. That's not going to get him wins over Shakur. No. It's not going to get him wins over Tank. If he stays at 135, maybe at 140, he can do that and just be the bigger guy. But he doesn't have the power. And like, if he's not throwing his jab and he's not defensive minded, like, I don't know. I came away from this fight thinking, all right, Haney's good, but like, I don't think he's the best 135 pounder. And I don't think he's the best of like this young crop that's from 130 to 130 to 140. Do you agree?
Did you hear the interview that Lomachenko said? They asked him, what do you think about Devin Haney, his skills? And he goes, he's good. He's a good fighter, but he's not pound for pound. And he's right. He's right. I saw the ceiling for Devin Haney went down for me today. So how far he can really go went down. You know, he's obviously a very, very talented fighter. He fought a great fight tonight. Don't get me wrong. He definitely made some mistakes, but he stuck to his game plan. He had a strategy that was very different. He definitely employed things that we've never seen from him before, and that's hard to do at this level, especially against his toughest opponent to date. But I said it on air too. The strength that I expected for the size advantage wasn't there. There were moments where Haney was making a big mistake of getting over his front foot and leaning down, and Lomachenko was leaning on his back.
Yep.
And Haney, which I've had guys do that to me, and I scoop them up and I pick them up off the ground to show how strong you are. Haney tried that. Lomachenko stopped him.
Lomachenko, exactly.
So he stopped him with that. It was in the first or second round. I was like, ooh, wait a second, that shouldn't happen.
Yeah.
With the size difference, that shouldn't happen. And every time they fell, Loma would make he basically just was doing wrestling moves. He did a high hip and roll over.
He
drove
a judo to him.
Yeah, exactly.
He's a
martial artist. He's got, you know, judo and martial arts and wrestling. Those are all things he did.
And so, if
you don't have that strength against that guy who's really a 130 pounder, what are you going to do at 40? Yeah. What do you do at 47?
Quickly,
I still think he beats the 40 guys, but I don't know. I don't know if the strength is going to really carry over.
Quickly for Lomachenko, I mean, I think there were critics out there for him, even though he has accomplished so much. Like, this was a great performance at age 35. This should silence anyone that says he's overrated, anyone that says he's this, that, and the other, overhyped. Stop with that. The guy's brilliant to watch. The footwork, the will. Just the overall showmanship. The guy is great. I hope he continues on. I want to see him fight. I wonder where he goes from here. I mean, this is going to be such a letdown. Like, the belts could, I guess, disperse if Haney moves on. He could stick around, but that's deflating. You saw him crying afterwards. It's deflating. It's a deflating loss for him. It's another loss, and it's another he came up short in an undisputed fight.
One of the best fighters of our generation, and he's 17-3.
Nuts.
That's crazy. It's crazy to think. And his losses were all super close, all highly disputed. The Salido one, they just picked the wrong guy, I thought.
That was a street fight.
Really, really
tough.
A grown
man versus a boy in a street fight. I'm going to punch your nuts until you give out.
Teofimo and Haney are very similar, you know?
Close fights.
They're close fights, arguable. I mean, Lomachenko still argues that he won the Teofimo fight. He's going to argue on this fight too, and those are proper arguments for it.
Yeah, so, I mean, when it's all said and done, he fought these fights. Like, a lot of these guys don't fight these fights. Like, he'll be remembered. Not that we're talking about his legacy all of a sudden, but he's going to be remembered as someone that fought, took on all comers and went up and down different weight classes. So hopefully we see him fight on. For Haney, it's interesting. Like, I just talked about him potentially moving on from Top Rank. I know they're going to want to try to sign him. They brought Shakur Stevenson into the ring for a reason, and that was to try to build up that fight. Javonta Davis fights hanging out there. Haney has said, I will stick around 135 because those are where the money fights are. A Javonta Davis versus Devin Haney fight for all the belts, even if it's this year or next year, would be massive now. Because Haney is a name in the sport. He's got all the belts. He's got some vulnerabilities. Tank fans think that he can take his head off. I want to see that fight. If Haney sticks at 135.
Yeah, I don't see it. I think he's going to go up to 40. I think that he doesn't really have anything to prove at 35. I think, there's big money there. But listen, he made big money tonight. He made big money with the Kambosos fights. He's got more big money fights in the future. I think he can still beat a lot of the 40-pound guys, especially because that's a kind of a transition weight class. There's always guys going up to the next weight class and where they really belong. And there's big fights for him there as well.
Well, if he's going to go to 140, he should stay at Top Rank then. He should wait to see the winner of Taylor and Teofimo.
Yep. Both of those are good fights for him.
Haney versus Teofimo? Are you kidding me?
Oh, it's a huge fight and a winnable fight.
Haney versus Taylor, I mean, an awesome fight. Like, Taylor's big.
Awesome fight.
Haney's big.
Yep.
Matchroom, if he goes to Matchroom or he goes that route, I mean, they got Regis Progre, I guess. Super Matias is floating around out there. We'll see. We're going to see what he does in the next couple of weeks. Boxing's on a heater right now. Katie Taylor lost the fight to Chantel Cameron. I won my parlay. Listen. I'll take him any way I can get him. I picked Loma to outright win. I picked Chantel Cameron to outright win. I thought Lomachenko won the fight. I'd rather see the right
guy win. I thought you won the parlay.
I did. Cameron
and you
and,
said you
I picked Cameron and Lomach, and excuse me, I picked Cameron and Haney, but I thought Lomachenko. What I was trying to say is like I'd rather the right man win than me line my pockets with more dollars. That's just how I roll.
Oh, that's very altruistic of you.
Yeah. So what's next? Where are you going in Vegas tonight? I'm going to bed because it's 2:08. It's only 11 p.m. there. So what's next?
I'm gonna try and find some food and then I'm going to bed.
Oh wow! No partying.
No, dude.
Red Eye. I mean, last Tank Ryan, you're already on the plane home. Like, I'm surprised you're even still in Vegas.
I thought this fight was going to end super late for some reason. And
did you open up your JetBlue app at the end of the fight?
I did.
Oh my God, you're a savage.
Yeah, I want to. I just, dude, I like being home. I don't, dude. I like Vegas. I don't like Vegas. I do not like it here.
It's fun for fights, but other than that.
Go
find some boxing heads and see what they think. We'll be back next week with another episode. Shakur Stevenson. He's on my mind. Shakur's on my mind because I saw him in the ring last and he looked pretty damn cool calling out Haney there. Devin Haney,
yep.
Victorious, undisputed champion. Hats off to everyone involved with this fight. It was awesome. Lomachenko still a warrior. Haney moves on. We move on. Protect yourselves at all times. Keep your hands up at all times. Stay out of those DMs. We're out.
Two Good & Co. coffee creamers are made with farm-fresh cream, real milk, and contain 3 grams of sugar per serving. That's 40% less than the 5 grams per serving in leading traditional coffee creamers for a rich, delicious experience. Whether you enjoy your coffee hot, cold, bold, or frothy, Two Good coffee creamers make every sip a good one. Two Good coffee creamers, real goodness in every sip. Find them at your local Kroger in the creamer aisle.